I want to talk about a quote that was popularized by Geoffrey Chaucer, but it is one of those quotes that I'm sure we all know. It is something that, okay, thank you, Teresa. It is something that is a quote that we all know. It is one of those that just is part of our common vernacular. It's just something that we all say. And that is, well, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. And it's said almost as if it shouldn't be happening. And really, in some ways, it should not. And that's what I want to talk about with you today. Because a lot of people are finding themselves home, quarantined, inside with their family all day long. Now, I know some of you are like me, and you're quarantined alone with your pets or just by yourself. And even that can bring up contemptuous feelings because you're not used to being alone with yourself in that close of an environment without the distractions of other people. So I say that Chaucer popularized the saying of familiarity breeds contempt, but it actually goes way back further than Geoffrey Chaucer's days. It was something that has been said forever. Benjamin Franklin put it somewhat similarly when he said, after 3 days, both fish and guests begin to smell. We start to get tired of other people. So I want to unpack this a little bit. I love to find things that we're always saying because, and then have us actually take a look at it because words are so powerful. Words create our reality. That is why I'm so much into not complaining. Complaining is focusing on what is wrong, what is broken, and what is missing, rather than what is present, what is whole, and what is working. And so it's so important to look at the words that we use, and especially since this is, as I say, part of our common vernacular, familiarity breeds contempt. Well, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. What does the word contempt mean? Contempt means not worthy of respect or consideration. Let me say that again. Not worthy of respect or consideration. And I'm going to step on some toes here. I was trying to think of a way to explain what that means. Not worthy of respect or consideration. And I realized to myself, it's how most people treat homeless people. If you want to know what contempt is, most people treat homeless people with contempt. Most people walk past them, treating them without respect or worthy of consideration. Now, chill out. Don't burn up the comment bar yet. I'm saying most people. I'm not saying all people. And I'm not saying it is at all a good thing. I'm just trying to give you a reference point for contempt. And let's go back to what we're talking about, which is this idea of being basically on a little life raft, you know? We were on a ship that was originally docked. This is probably not a good metaphor considering all the cruise situations, etc. But all of a sudden we were on a ship, which is fewer people, and now we're in a life raft, a very small boat with people who are often, well, not often, but who are extremely important to us, but people who know us so well that they know exactly how to push our buttons. Quoted this quote many times. Ram Dass said, if you think you're enlightened, go spend a weekend with your parents. Our family simply pushes our buttons, and there's a lot of reasons for that. It has a lot to do with what we say to ourselves based on what they think, say, and do. It's really, it's more our reaction than their action. And that's really what we want to talk about when it has to do with contempt. So, here we are in this small life raft, which can be a large 5,000 square foot house, or it can be, a condo about the size of mine, or smaller even. And people are together. They are in this life raft together. Now, why does familiarity breed contempt? Remembering that contempt means a lack of respect or consideration. Well, it actually has to do with a thing called social shock. When we first get together with other people, we're a bit off. When we walk, it's the reason most of us hate going to parties but love being at parties, okay? And I'm one of those people. I'll find an excuse every minute not to go. And once I get there, I'm awkward for the first 15, 20, 30 minutes. We all are. And it is that feeling that causes us to feel uncomfortable with other people. It's social shock when we first get around people. So normally, when we first get around our families, because we're not around them all the time, normal people, 9 to 5, or take the kids, drop them off at 7 o'clock, get home at 6 or 7, have dinner, put the kids to bed, go to bed yourself. Or if you live alone, possibly, you know, that except the kid part, right? So, or you got to keep people in this mix. So let's leave the alone part. I think my mind was, I tend to think about myself, which is part of actually the issue here. When you first get around other people, you're hyper aware of them. You're hyper aware to them. When people first start dating, they're hyper conscious of being considerate and kind, of being respectful, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And over time, that can shift. And the same is true, especially when people are like quarantined or stuck together. Because when you're first around people in that social shock phase, you're putting your attention on them, on their needs. You are wanting to be considerate. Now, what happens is, and we've talked about this many times, that idea of, is the light shining on me or is it shining on the other person? The more I shine it on me, the easier it is to be focused on my needs, my slights, my grievances, my irritations, my upset, etc., and not the other person. Now, if I put my concern and focus on the other person, the light literally cannot shine on me. This has to do with what Brian Tracy called the law of mental exclusivity. If I'm focusing on you and your needs, then I'm not going to focus on mine. The challenge is, what we know is that the longer we're with other people, the more that focus just, it's like there's a swivel that shines the light. And it's got like a rubber band on it that's slowly turning it back towards us so that we are focusing on ourselves. And when we begin to focus on ourselves is when we actually begin to notice things that we dislike about the other person. If we put our focus on the other person, we don't. Let me give you just a beautiful example that happened this week. My prayer partner, Brian, and I were talking on Thursday morning, and Brian has two wonderful kids, and I mean that. They are just great kids, Olivia and Emma. And they're at home, of course, and so is Mommy, and they have a nice big house, and Brian has an office, and yet the kids were right outside the side of the door, screaming and yelling and crying and beating on things. I mean, it just, now I had one child. I was one of three. So I remember the tornadoes that we were and the noise that we made. But I only had one kid, my daughter Leah. So I'm not used to that level of from kids, right? The interesting thing was that could have caused Brian to focus on himself about how they were affecting him and this is unfair and this is wrong. But then Brian told me a quick story about how the older one had actually gotten up in a very good mood, but the younger one had gotten up in a foul mood, and the older one was trying to be helpful and the younger one, who just happened to wake up in a bad mood, was being a little bit nasty, and it was on, you know what I mean? And it escalated, and that's what happened. It just escalated. But Brian, rather than sitting there going, God, I wish these kids would shut up for what they're doing to me, okay? That's contempt, all right? That is having contempt for them and putting the focus on you. Instead of that, Brian knew the story in his head, and he contextualized it. Same would be true, as I was talking about homeless people earlier. If we understand why those particular people were homeless, we wouldn't treat them with contempt. That's my feeling. So here's what I want to do. I want to tell you a way to maintain the opposite of contempt. You need to actively, when you're in this lifeboat with these people right now, that is your home, you need to actively keep the contempt down, because you all are together. So you want to actively keep the contempt down. So what is the opposite of contempt? I literally looked up the antonym. The opposite of contempt is respect and courtesy. Number one, respect and courtesy. Just like you would treat a guest coming into your home. The tone of voice that you would use, the consideration you would have, the forgiveness you would forbear. Treat the people that you're with and do it consciously. The longer you're together, the harder it is to do. Why? And I wish I could show you, but I have, you know, studio lights around me. It's literally like the light just goes right back on you. And when you focus on you, you focus on your own pettiness, your own self-interest, your own irritations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the way to get around contempt is to focus on the other person. I'm going to give you one very, very practical exercise. I'm going to give it to you as homework. Before I do that, I want to thank you again for those of you who shared yesterday's Jumpstart. I want to acknowledge those of you who just came in and joined us yesterday. And I want to remind you, here we go. I want to remind you there. You share today's Jumpstart, you could win one of my Wilbo and Tumblers. We had 19 shares yesterday, y'all. That's a record. Here's what I'm going to do. When we hit 50 shares in one day, I'm going to give everybody a prize. I'm not sure what it is, but 50 shares in one day, and I'm going to give everybody a prize. So share my daily Jumpstart and win a Wilbo and Tumbler. The more you share, the better your chances. And Patty A Young, if I recall, won yesterday for sharing, and we hit 19. So let me say hello real quick to everybody before I give you your homework. Tammy says, this is my fifth week working from home with my husband and two dogs. I am struggling. Needed to hear this today. Tammy, I know you, and I know you're going to like what it is I have to say next then. Good day Monday, says Kathy. And Gigi says, thank you, Will. Great stuff, says Janelle. Kim says, great message as always. Thank you, Will. Be sure and share it. If it's a great message, say it's a great message and share it. Thank you. Patty Gay Young, who won the Tumblr for today, says, it works. My friends are sharing my share. Isn't that awesome? That's what we want to do. It's so cool. What I love to see is when two friends bring each other into this group and then speak to each other in this group. Kim Russell says, shared. Remember, you got to not only share it, but you've got to comment and say that you did share. When customers shop my store, says Scott Ware, and seem, quote, out of sorts, I tell my staff not to internalize that because we don't know their story. Smile at them and be as friendly as ever they may need it. Scott, that is beautiful. Starbucks, in their training, tells people that their green aprons are actually there to reflect back any negative energy from a customer. Not reflect it back and send it back in kind, but to literally let it bounce off. Jerome says, good morning, Scott. Gail says, thank you. My pleasure. Now I want to share something with you. If you are at home with your family, I want to share something with you that is going to make a huge difference, I feel, for you. The renowned Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh, who I believe passed recently. I know he had a stroke. He's living in France. You've got some time, read his stuff. It's just beautiful, so spiritual and so loving and so wonderful. Thich Nhat Hanh was raised in a very stoic family in Vietnam, and his family never hugged. They never touched. They never hugged. And then later, he started traveling and speaking in like New Thought churches, like Centers for Spiritual Living, Unity, etc. And those are some huggy people, you know? When I was a Unity minister, man, that was like, you literally, everybody hugged the staff. The staff all hugged each other when you got to work. Nowadays, I really don't think that would be encouraged, honestly, but that was something that we always did. So there was a lot of hugging. So he's going to these churches and he felt like he was being mauled because people were reaching out and hugging him. So he decided that this was something he needed to get over. And he actually thought about hugging and what to do and how to do. So this is Thich Nhat Hanh, the famous Buddhist monk's way of hugging. And I'm going to see if I can do something. Come here, buddy. Come here. He's asleep on his pillow, so this may take a second. Come here. Let me demonstrate this. Thank you. Yes, my boy. You were out, weren't you? Can I have a hug? All right. So here's what I want you to do is I want you to practice Thich Nhat Hanh's form of hugging. Okay? Thich Nhat Hanh's form of hugging, he learned to do this to contextualize hugging to make it more of a spiritual practice than just a perfunctory. And what you want to do is you want to hug the other person or dog as if you've been gone, maybe sick with the coronavirus, and it was questionable that you'd come back, or something has happened, and you've been gone for a very, very, very long time, and you are so grateful to hold this person. I'm hugging him a little too. Hold this person or hold this dog for the first time because you've been gone. You've been missing in action. So the first part of the hug, it's three steps. It's about you having been gone and you're back and you're so grateful. Second part of the hug is, for example, what if Teddy had gotten lost, and I don't even want to affirm that. Came back after having sing. How would I hug him? Oh my God, I would be so grateful. I would be so, so happy. So the second part of the hug is you hug the person while they hug you with the same intention as if you've been gone. The other person has been. So first it's you. I've been gone and I'm back and I get to hug you again after long and uncertain circumstances. And then the second hug is I get to hug you because I lost you. Or maybe even think of this as, you know, in the future and maybe when Teddy is gone and what I would have given to have hugged him one more time and he's back and I get that chance and I get to do that. And then finally, you hug one another. You hug one another grateful that neither of those things are true and that you're both there together. Right then, right there. And what this does is it recontextualizes all of those reasons that you feel contempt. It puts gratitude in you that you're okay and that you're not one of the sick ones and possibly dying and that you're still here. And it puts gratitude in your mind and your heart that the other people or the animals are fine and they are there too. And then it reminds you that what matters is that you are there together. Then you begin to treat the other person with respect and courtesy. That is the opposite of contempt. Respect and courtesy. Respect. Treat them as someone valuable, important, rather than someone to be dismissed like furniture simply because you've been around them all the time. And that's a choice. Look the person in the eye. Speak nicely. Courtesy. Look up courtesy. It simply means treat them with good manners. Treat them as you would a guest. Don't keep track of how they're treating you. That's putting the focus back on you. Put the focus. So let me read everybody's comments one more time. And we're going to close up shop here. Whoops, overshot you. Maria Williams Johnson shared, thank you. Can always tune in, but grateful. Great messages. Thank you. Gail says, shared, shared, shared. Awesome. Lisa says, or Linda says, hello, Lisa. Gail says, love hugs. Daniel says, oh, I can't wait to start hugging everyone again. I know. And be sure and hug your kids. Teresa Napier says, that's quite a hug. Yep. You just got to remember the three steps. Hug as if you've been gone or missing. Hug as if the other person has been gone or missing. Hug as if you're grateful they're there. It'll take you a total of 15 seconds. But oh my gosh, will it build a bridge, okay, between you and the other person. And the puppy even. And remember to hug people. I love that. Brings us back to our purpose. You know what? Hug people and tell them what you think about them. Tell them you love them. My father never told me he loved me until I told him when I was 17 or 15, 14. And he said, well, that's always been understood between us. No, it's not. That's not a good answer. Teddy needs to hear good, happy, loving words, and so does everybody else. So everybody, thank you so much for being with me. Be sure and share today. Let's break 19. We had 19 shares today. All you got to do is share and you're automatically entered to win a tumbler. Be sure and join me for tomorrow and give me your suggestions and comments as to what it is you'd like for me to speak on while we're in this time of quarantine and separation. How can we connect? How can I best support you? All right. Okay, everybody, listen, have a great day and enjoy today. It's a Monday. It's going to be a great day.
No more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.